Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks, Clipper fans, Clipper people?
Like the variety recently.
I mean, I think I'm still falling back into the same thing. It's really hard. We do this every day.
It's difficult.
But anyways, thank you so much for rocking out with us. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive for Game 5, Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Feels weird that there's not a game today.
It does feel weird, but I don't know about anyone else, but my game buzz has not gone away.
I'm still tingling.
The electricity, not what I had to drink.
Yes. I'm still tingling from yesterday.
Okay.
That was a heck of a game, but we're going to talk today about what we need to do to win this game. Four,
yes. I got it wrong at the end of the episode.
Wow.
Yesterday.
I almost said five. What we need to do to win this game four, we're going to talk about some things we need to do well, as well as a few things that could go wrong. We'll dig into some key matchups for that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was media availability today. A little limited. It was just Zubats and Doc, but...
Zoo's starting to give even more elite interviews.
I was really excited for this interview, just given how emotional he was after the ejection in game three.
First team all kicking chairs right now, Zubats.
So we're going to be talking about that. And then in shavings, we have a really pertinent thing. We're going to talk a little bit about the hook or the chicken wing, whatever you want to call it.
Like the chicken wing.
And then in good news, the Clippers Arena has gone through its final approval.
Yeah.
So the land will be purchased by Ballmer & Co.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to break ground on that bad boy. So
let's
get
talk
about that as well. And then... couple of clips made second team all defense.
Hey, hey. It wasn't Lou Will. Sorry to spoil it.
That could have been. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So we're entering game four, which, man, what a series so far.
Yeah.
2-1 could have easily been the other way for the Clippers, but... I'm kind of trying to, my excitement for the win is still there, but I'm trying to kind of forget about that game. Other than Kawhi and PG's offense.
Oh, man.
And PG's defense.
It was, it was in classic Clippers fashion, very tense. I was pretty worried early.
Everyone on Twitter thought we just lost.
I mean, you say this all the time, but it's sometimes when you're watching the Clippers, if you can't see the score... looks like things are going a lot worse than they maybe are.
Yes, it does. No injuries to report, which is fantastic. So Jermichael, good to go. He was cleared to return to the game, but I think kind of in usual Doc fashion, it didn't seem like he was going to play Jermichael.
Yeah, I think if things got a little bit more desperate, we maybe would have tried to lean on that. Mm-hmm. But just given how good Zoo was playing, I mean, we heard in the press conference that, you know, he does trust Zoo. Zoo wants to be in a position to be closing games.
Yeah.
So I would hope that that factored into the decision as well.
And the team was playing so good in that stretch. It was like, let's not touch it.
Definitely. So what do we need to do well to win this one?
Play with the right kind of confidence.
Okay.
It's something that a lot of Clippers fans have been talking about.
Yes.
Not the we've already gotten past you confidence that we've seen sometimes from this team in regular season and in the playoffs, but the we know we can beat you confidence.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is starting to become like the popular criticism of the Clippers is that, you know, they sometimes play as like a team that's like in its third championship run or something like that. Maybe not with the same urgency. and I think a lot of where that comes from, I mean, we've heard it time and time again. I just hope we get to see it. But starting the game with the right defensive intensity.
100%.
I don't mean to call my man because he was great. And especially in that fourth quarter. But Kawhi did not come out with the urgency. In game three.
Interesting. Yeah.
Defensively.
PG was there. PG locked up Murray.
Yes.
Which was great, which I hope we see again. But yeah, that's a good call. I think that's fair.
I get it. I do think that you have to reserve some of your energy for, I mean, that display in the fourth quarter was incredible. I'd like to see him just kind of tighten up the screws maybe on some of the other opponents, especially, you know, like if he happens to be defending Porter Jr.
We
or something like
Porter
that.
Porter Jr. go off again.
He can't have 100% field goal percentage when Kawhi's guarding him.
It just can't happen.
That can't happen.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially if our bench, you know, is struggling to create offensively. I mean, We got to be clamping them down. We got to be clamping down, especially in any non-Jokic minutes.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about this a little bit and what could go wrong, but like we can get away with like one of them going off.
Yeah.
And Michael Porter Jr. shooting 100%, can't get away with two other guys.
I'm going to say this. I mean, I want Zoo to not foul. I want Zoo to play 30 minutes this game.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with Jokic going off. I'm fine if that's guy that we can't contain.
We're forcing him jumpers, too. Like, he's making jumpers.
Yes. If he scores 35 points, I don't care. But we need to prevent him from getting his teammates going, because that's where this team starts to get dangerous.
Less than 10 assists would be nice.
Yeah. When you have those role players all getting in that double-digit scoring area it's like bad. They were the other night, it's bad. And God forbid somebody like Gary Harris or Jeremy Grant starts to feel it offensively.
Early, too.
Yes. Yeah. That is just a situation you do not want to be in.
Yes. We have a voicemail from Alan Canales, aka Valley Clipper. We couldn't get this on the last episode, so we got it on this one. He has some inputs on how he should play and a spicy take about Doc.
Hey, what's up, Locked On Nation? This is Alan Canales, aka Valley Clipper from the San Fernando Valley. And, man, what a fucking... We squeezed that win in, man. We came back. Well, we need to come out and play way better defense and come out and just destroy these shooters, man. We gotta play like we were better than this team, because we are. I mean, if we don't get to the final, I think this is if we can't get to the final with this team, then Doc Rivers should get fired. And you know, like I said, we gotta play way better. I mean, I enjoy the win, but we should be easily up 3-0 right now instead of 2-1.
Okay.
So I agree with most of what he said about like the intensity and like we got to lock down their shooters early. Like we got to make it difficult for them.
Yes, definitely.
The Doc thing, if we don't get to the finals, do you think Doc should be done?
I think it depends on how it happens.
If it's Bucks style, get him out of there.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it won't though, thankfully.
And once again, every time I think that we're gonna like beat our heads against the wall until our eyes bleed, you know, like in this last game, I was impressed that Doc made the adjustment. He put Shamit in those third up guard minutes instead of Reggie,
yeah,
which I think was effective. He kept Lou Will in for a stretch when Lou Will was playing brilliant defense,
which is fly by night, Justin Russo. Did a breakdown of Lou Will's defense. And it's so funny because, like, he's talking about it and he's just like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. Like, it was like you were watching Pat Bev.
My thing is, I mean, obviously defense isn't all effort. Like, basketball IQ, a lot of things tie into it. But you're looking at a vet player who knows the opportunity that he's got. He's been on so many teams.
Yeah.
He knows what kind of opportunity this is. And, he's going to be damned if he's going to let that slip through his fingers.
100%. I also think, Doc, if we don't make the finals, if this was a regular year, Alan... I'm with you 100%. But because of everything this year, I'm kind of like, I think he probably gets one more. If we don't get to the finals, but I mean, we definitely got to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
From a fan perspective.
Yeah. And I mean, I would be very surprised if we didn't see Doc kind of in peak form against the Lakers. I mean,
he's ready.
Yeah, I think it maybe gets a little bit more difficult if we end up going up against the Rockets, coaching perspective. Because I don't know if that's going to be as well scouted.
For sure. And then last thing, let's just take care of the dang ball.
Yeah.
Let's just not have stupid unforced turnovers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's keep those turnovers 12 or below.
Oof. If it's 12 or below, I will eat my hat. I think it's still going to be around like 15, but I just hope they're not unforced. I hope we don't have 7 turnovers where it's us going off our own foot.
Definitely.
What could go wrong? Talked about this a little bit up top, but both Murray and Jokic go off.
Yes.
That is where we get sunk. It's how we got sunk in game 2. It was not fun to watch. But like, and this might seem obvious, but at this point in the series, Doc and Malone both know what the other person's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what defense they're going to get thrown at. For the most part, but like just the intensity, like this boils down to, and I know it's kind of stupid, but like for a good part of that game, the Nuggets looked like they quote unquote wanted it more.
Yes.
And that's something that I think Clippers fans have seen lacking from the Clippers team, perceived or in reality.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we alluded to it in, you know, what we need to do to win, but like, yeah, just not letting Jokic get the rest of his teammates going. is going to be a huge factor. I'm also curious to see, just going on the defensive effort, what we choose to do in the Jokic pick and roll. Like, obviously, I think they're going to continue to have Zoo drop to mitigate the drive. And then do we have a help defender come up to stop Jokic from shooting on the wing? I'm not really quite sure the way to mitigate that, but it's too much ground for Zoo to cover.
By himself? Yes. Yeah, like there are some jumpers where you're like, well, shit, I wish he wouldn't have got that. But Zoo's covering both things. You know, like, this is a testament to how good Jokic is at passing the ball.
Definitely.
It's not like he's going to do one or the other one way worse. He's going to do one way better. And I like us... You know, one thing that goes wrong is Jokic hitting his jumpers. Like, I'm fine with Jokic settling for jumpers. I'd much rather have Jokic settle for jumpers than using his elite post footwork against our guys and drawing 100%. Fouls.
Yeah.
Another thing, transition defense.
Yes.
Let's get that figured out.
Yes.
Like, let's get guys back.
Let's not have any more full court passes.
And that's like, I saw a tweet.
Easy layup.
I saw a tweet that was like, do the Clippers not read the scouting report on Jokic? The full court pass is like
his thing.
It's his first thought as soon as the ball lands in his giant hand. Like, and that goes to intensity. I think that's all kind of encompassed in like, I know Doc can get these guys fired up because we've seen it before. We've seen the team come out hot on both ends. Just really hope it happens. This is a really important game for the series.
I mean, I think it's crucial. I think taking a commanding lead, a 3-1 lead, would do so much even for the confidence of this team. Even if we end up dropping the next game, if we end up dropping game 5 and this one again goes to 6, just having that 3-1, I think is it does something to the team. One more thing we got to talk about and what could go wrong. What do we do with Trez? What do you want to see from Trez in this game?
So this bleeds into into the matchups because I put Trez versus the doubt.
Yes.
Clippers fans saw what can happen when things are going well with that late stretch in the fourth. Right?
Yes.
Like, we saw how it can work, how he kind of understands. And Doc's talked about this.
Offensively still not there.
Agreed. So like, and Doc's talked about this. We're still getting used to some of these weird lineups. The foul trouble was weird. At the end, Trez settled into the defensive role really well and things look great. But I'm looking for the finishing to be better.
Yes.
Like, I hope the free throw shooting remains the same because they're going to be hacking Trez. Like, Trez is going to get to the line probably 10 times again. That's a strategy that behooves you if you're the Nuggets because usually he's not going to shoot 70%.
Definitely.
What do you want to see?
From Trez, just awareness. I don't want to see him, people getting easy cuts. If I see another play where he is right in front of the basket and a guard or a smaller
tiny
Nugget
man runs under
comes
his legs
up and grabs that board, he needs to be pulled immediately.
Yeah.
And this is someone who, like, I do think Trez can bounce back. I thought we did see a little bit of that in the fourth, but he needs to figure it out, man. And it needs to be quick. I hope that in non-Jokic minutes, he and Lou can get some sort of chemistry going, get that bench unit firing a little bit more offensively. I love what we saw from Lou yesterday, and I do like the fact that he's willing to defer and he's getting less attempts.
Yeah.
So naturally, you know, not scoring as well, not in as great of a rhythm. But yeah, just continuing to seize those sort of opportunities.
100%. And then Corey DiBiase had an interesting take on a voicemail. He suggested double or tripling Jokic, which I don't think is going to happen because Jokic is too good at passing.
So,
like, maybe a really early trap if Jokic has it just after the half court line, but I still don't really see that going down.
So yeah, just with the perimeter shooters, I don't know about doing it, you know, like above the break or above the free throw line.
Yeah, exactly.
In the post, I like idea.
I don't know about that, man. He's such a good post passer and they're good at cutting.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is how good he is it sucks. Like,
yeah, that's fair. My thing the whole time has been, I like the idea of running sort of soft doubles on these sort of skilled centers because it's like a practice if we do end up going against AD.
Oh, okay.
Like how you sort of mitigate that,
like
that elite post
also.
Player.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dry run. It's a soft opening.
It's a soft opening for sure.
So everybody gets a free beer.
I
don't know. And you know, maybe that's even a little bit foolish of me, but it's, you know, it's something that's rattling around in my head.
And then PG versus Jamal. We hope the defense stays exactly the same.
Here's my one concern.
Yeah.
You know how we started on a shootout last night?
Yeah. Oh, yes, do I.
How much do you think that like, offensive success translated for Paul George on the defensive end?
I think a little bit, But I think because his offense has been struggling, he's maybe trying to be better about that. Because he was in those games kind of, you know, he had that one really good game in the first round. And then even after that, the defense was still good.
For sure.
So I think he's maybe still trying to hang his hat on that.
I think you're right. And I think that that would be like my thing is, you know, if the offense falters a little bit from, you know, obviously 70%? How great it was. Yeah, from how great it was in the last game. I hope that he can still continue that defensive effort because him on Murray has been, was crucial.
Real quick, what's your prediction? You said it was going to go six.
Clips win this one, I think. I think we finally put it together to get back-to-back wins.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm thinking it's going to be pretty close again, like 6 to 8 point spread.
I think it might go the other way. I think we're maybe still in a little bit of a back-to-back thing. I think the Nuggets get the win by less than five.
Gotcha.
I think it's a tight one. I don't like saying it, but I will. Coming up, we're going to talk about some presser vibes. There's a new feud that seems like a good time. But first, got to give a shout out to DoorDash.
Yes.
Been munching on their food recently. Will and I have a fantasy football draft. Probably going to order some DoorDash pizza or something like that. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off. Very easy system. Very safe. It's fantastic. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and if you're feeling extra fancy, the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Please support them. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA, that's $5 off your first order, zero delivery fees. When you download the DoorDash app with promo code LOCKEDONNBA one more time, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Mmm, yummy. Okay, so we're back. It's Presser Vibes. In case you missed it.
That threw me off.
That's just key copyright. That's just key copyright. So we are back with Presser Vibes.
Yeah.
In case you missed it, Pat Bev was sort of asked about the difficulty guarding a player like Jokic and how he thought Zoo had done. And Pat Beverly, never missing an opportunity to take a jab at somebody, said that, you know, he was kind of like a Luka-type player. There's a lot of flailing, a lot of flopping. Yeah. It can be difficult to deal with. And then Mike Malone, he clapped back. What did he have to say?
Mike Malone said, I don't listen to Patrick Beverly a whole lot. If Kawhi Leonard was talking, I might listen. Kawhi's a great player. I love this trash talk.
This is so funny.
It's great from both sides. I think Pat respects it. This isn't a weird history thing with these two dudes. Like, I like this.
Is it wrong of me, too, that I just truly think that all of this is in good fun? We hear Doc talk time and time again about how weird it is that both teams arrive in the buses at the same time. They both take the same elevator up.
Yeah.
There was famously, or I mean, at least Clippers famously, a press conference Doc was in where Jokic and the Nuggets were walking by and they were yelling, hey, we don't like you.
Yeah. That's we a don't good time. Like you. Like,
I'm loving this. It's kind of, to me, it's like there's a little bit of posturing to it. It's almost WWE.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
What's the thing now? AEG?
AEW, if you're a cool wrestling fan, apparently.
AEW.
I don't know enough.
All Elite.
I'm all Attitude Era, baby. All I watch is old Stone Cold videos of him spraying Kurt Angle with that milk machine.
Mankind Man.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that was a good time. Zoo continues to give Elite press conference answers. They talked to him about his fouling out. And someone asked a question like, you seem pretty frustrated after you fouled out. Were you frustrated? And Zoo just answered, yeah. And that was the most passion I feel like we've seen from Zoo. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No. I mean,
he was genuinely upset.
I love seeing it. And, you know, we've been talking about this all season, but he takes these sort of matchups very personally.
Going up against, they played against when they were young.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Going up against any like skilled big, you know, he wants to lock them down. He wants to dominate that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, early on in Zoo's career, like when he first came to the Clippers, he had a challenge on DeAndre Jordan, not DeAndre Jordan, but
DeAndre Ayton.
Oof. Yes. And he, you know, like DeAndre Ayton clearly got the dunk in, but I loved the assertiveness, and that's carried over as he's increased his skill to just being, you know, like just bringing that sort of intensity. And I think that, you know, at times when the team is looking for a focal point of the tone on that end, I think that he can be that guy sometimes.
And in this presser, they asked him about energy. They said, you know, you guys were good enough to do it for a 5-minute stretch where you have to be on. And he kind of cut him off. He was like, it has to be the whole game.
Yeah.
Like yesterday we turned it on. We won game, but it was a close game. We've got to be locked in with energy all 48 minutes. And he's talked about like, another quote from this one, I've got to bring the energy from the start and be able to finish the games. I've got to be able to bring it from the first minute. That's a big challenge for me, and he's still working on it.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Like, he's so open about what he's still developing with.
Definitely. And we also can't overlook the fact, I mean, the man did have COVID, and we still are not 100% really sure did. Of the long-term
of
cardiac
what's going down
effects of that.
With COVID.
But, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for the man. He's certainly not going to make any excuses. I love this response. Zoo has become a fan favorite of this team for a very clear reason. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he brings to this matchup next game.
He did have one questionable part of this interview.
What do you got?
They said, you know, what's it like to guard Jokic? What did you learn from yesterday? And he had a quote that said, like Pat said, I got 6 fouls this playoff. I need to use them all and just be physical. And that's how I can help my teammates. From now on, I'm trying to play as physical as I can. And next thing, I've got to be a little smarter with the fouls. And then we'll be good. I'm like, just maybe shorten it to 5 fouls. Use the whole 6.
Use the fouls.
Dude, like.
The fouls are there for use. Don't get 2 in the first.
Yeah, that's fair. If they were more spread out, I'd be okay with it. But like, and who knows? Maybe things go differently if he doesn't get that
5
6
and
foul.
6 were also very rough.
Yeah, like that quote, I was like, dude, like don't use all the fouls.
So he was referencing something that Pat said, which is just like, yeah, I mean. It is just like a measure of bringing the intensity and bringing physical. I think that's what he truly meant. He didn't mean he's going to foul more.
Dude, he might though. And then he talked about Jokic.
Gets
coverage.
The elusive 7th foul.
Yeah, he gets the summer league total. He talked about kind of guarding Jokic, and he said trapping is a good thing, but then you end up with Jokic with the ball in his hands going 4-on-3, which is difficult. And then he said something that we kind of talked about that some people forget about. They're a good team, and every coverage is not going to be perfect. You just got to keep mixing it up.
Exactly.
Doc had some comments. What did Doc have to say about trusting Zoo, and do you believe it?
So he said that it's not about trust. He's always trusted him.
I don't believe that for a second.
And that I just don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm fine with it because the team's played well in the regular season, but like, I just don't believe it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. And he certainly isn't always forthright with his reasoning. But, you know, the script that we were given all season was that Zoo was the starter and Trez was the finisher.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, there's also a cool thing. Sorry to circle back, but there's a really cool thing in Zoo's where he talked about sort of like his growth in the NBA. And he said, you know, the first thing was he started out in the G League and he just wanted to be in the league.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he made a roster and then he just wanted to be in the rotation.
Yeah.
And then he just wanted to be a starter. And now he's at the point where he just wants to be finishing games.
Strong Zoo.
Loving it.
The evolution continues.
I love it.
Doc also said that the Clippers have been sketchy defensively.
Great word.
Couldn't agree more. Love the word sketchy. I've used it for 2 decades now to describe a myriad of things. That's exactly what the defense has looked like.
Yeah.
Sketchy.
Yeah. Hopefully we see that tightened up, and I don't know. I just don't know. Is this a motivation thing, or I just don't know if this is a coach motivation thing or if this is just players. I don't know.
I think it's a little of column A, a little of column B. Which is difficult sometimes because it's hard to, you know, when there's one coach, you're like, oh, it's the coach's fault.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Doc had some very eloquent things to say on America's education and just kind of overall situation. He said, we have not in this country, and I keep saying it, has not come to grips with the original sin of slavery and the impact of slavery. And I say it all the time. If you look at our country and you just did it in 275-year increments, well, if you take the first 175 years, 150 years of that were slavery. The next 50 or 60 years was Jim Crow, segregation, hanging, lynching. He talked about giving one group of people gets a 200-year head start, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who's listening to Doc and is like, I don't know what he's talking about. This is the perfect metaphor.
100%.
If you've been trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
He continued to go. He said, the fact that we have a president right now that is trying to take education away about social injustice and racial injustice, it's absurd. Trump's trying to take away basically teaching the history of slavery more in depth in schools. He doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
horrible reasons. He said, no, we just have to keep the talk. And I'm just going to keep saying this. It's not a black thing. It's a white thing. It's an American thing. It's a human justice thing, equal justice and human rights. Yeah, I'm going to stay on it. I'm not going to relent. I love Doc, dude.
Yeah. You know, he's been very vocal throughout this whole process. Obviously, you know, well-respected throughout the league. There's a reason that he was in on those players-only discussion.
Yeah, no shit.
And, you know, he just continues to lead by example and is just such an inspirational dude.
And he pushes players, too.
Yes.
Which is great. He talked about him and the coaches. He said, where I'm proud of the coaches is I think we all understood that this was a young people's thing. Very similar to what Dave Chappelle said, actually. These protests are different. These are young people involved, and to push them to stay in front, I think, has been awesome for me from afar just to watch them do their stuff and keep speaking out. I'm just so very proud of our players. God, Doc Rivers, man. I think he's going to coach a hell of a game in game four.
Absolutely.
I think we got this thing. Coming up, we're going to be talking the hook move, the Clippers arena, and then some kudos to Pat Bev and Kawhi. But first, Will, break down these Built Bars.
Oh, buddy. If you need something to eat that's healthy and tastes good, you got to check out Built Bar.
What?
New improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it was before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors.
Love it.
All the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which, you know, who doesn't enjoy?
Easy to chew is always better than hard to chew.
Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or gal or anyone looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Oh, yeah. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber.
High fibes.
Which makes them great for the keto diet. And right now, we've got a special offer for our listeners. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. One more time, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Oh, now that I'm all jacked up on Built Bars, just looking super strong. Real quick, the hook move. We've seen Kawhi do it. We've seen Jokic do it. Seen a lot of players do it. Kelly Olynyk famously yanked. Kevin Love's shoulder out of his socket.
Someone posted that picture on Twitter today, and maybe that's one of those injuries that kind of makes me feel a little sick.
How do they fix this? Because it's an offensive foul. Do you just start calling the offensive foul a bunch? Because it can't be anything else, right? You can't banning it is the same as saying it's just a foul, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, here's
the thing.
It's
a dangerous
play. It's a dangerous play. And I do think that, you know, the one thing that is keeping its prevalence is I do think that sometimes it's maybe a little bit hard for the refs to judge when you're just inadvertently getting put into a position where the, you know,
yeah,
the defender
the
is
yeah.
leading with their hand and you're trying to go and you're trying to drive. But there are other times where, I mean, it's pretty clearly a hook.
Yeah.
I do feel like it's the same thing as a flagrant, not maybe in the way it should be reffed, but like there's, when it's a hook, there's almost like a wind up and a hook. You know what I'm saying?
There's a motion. Like,
yes.
There's like an intent.
Yes,
not like a
motion.
Football move, that yeah. horrible thing a couple years in the NFL. But like, yeah, there's a... And the thing that sucks is now you get on this road, like, all right, so you got to review it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. But I think that's how you get it out of the game. Because I think a lot of the times, like, if you're not going full speed and you do the hook move, it's, you know, and pick up whatever, it's immediately a foul.
Yeah.
Because... But it's that motion after the hook move when you continue the drive and you're holding a dude's shoulder
yes, yeah.
who's trying to get around and then it comes out of the socket, you got a whole issue.
Yeah. And I mean, it's dangerous for the player hooking too. Your arm is also
yeah.
stuck.
yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, so it's not an intelligent move. And, I thought that it was happening a couple times on purpose in that Zoo-Yoke matchup, but, I'm one man. I'm one man.
I mean, Kawhi did get called for it, too.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know. We hope something happens. We hope no one gets hurt from it.
Yes. But this, to me, is way different than the push-off, because I'm fine with the push-off.
Push-off, I'm like, yeah, no one's getting their shit broke.
Yeah. If you get a sneaky push-off in where you lead with the shoulder and
or
you have
Kawhi
a shoulder.
Or you're Kawhi and you're just so strong that
yeah.
people bounce off your forearms.
Yeah, and give a forearm. I'm 100% pro that. But anything where you're like... It's like any holding thing, I think, changes to me.
100%. Also, the Clippers Arena got the last 13 parcels of land
That's right.
That it needed.
For a mere $66 million.
Dude, how much are parcels?
Were you going to drop in an offer on that bad boy?
Yeah, I was actually going to buy the 13th parcel and then charge $1 billion for it. I missed the asking price by $4.5 million or whatever it was. So final approval for the Englewood City Council. Season ticket waitlist is open. Shout out to anyone who has to pay whatever the hell season tickets are going to be, whenever the hell the first season in this arena is going to be.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, tickets are going up. We've already heard about season ticket holders, you know, mid-season.
Yeah.
Talking about how much rates were going to go up.
Definitely.
This is a spooky time to be putting a new arena up.
I agree. There's just so much going on that it's, I mean, no disrespect, it's a little bit hard to get excited about it.
It's right a now. Weird. There's wealth disparity.
I mean, we're still unclear on the effects of the community.
The way things have happened have been a little weird.
Yeah, And I mean, there is certain promises of income returning to the city of Englewood, and you know, if those things are made good upon, I think it could overall be positive. I don't know, man. It seems kind of far off. I'm just more focused on game four.
Let's get the Larry O'B.
Yeah.
You know? And you know what's going to help us get the Larry O'B, or the Gary O'B, as they call it in Toronto? Kawhi and Pat Bev named second team all defense.
Woo!
Way to go, dogs. Hope they had a nice ice cold beer.
Should they have been higher?
I don't know. The first team was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'd rather have two guys on all second than none on either of them.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, I'm so jacked up for game four.
So jacked too. We got to get out of here.
We got to get out of here.
What do we got coming up for tomorrow?
Thursday's episode. Recapping of the hopeful victory over the Nuggets in game five. Probably some voicemails. You guys have been fantastic. Valley Clipper again. Thank you so much for yours. Corey DiBiase. We'll get you in on the next one.
What's that number?
213-986-7354. The Clippers party line. Always open.
Always open. Please call in.
And then whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland. I have been positive, Chuck Locklear.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. If you haven't already, please check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer. Tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating or review. We love it.
Hi.
And most of all, we appreciate you.